Someone has said that a father is a walking, talking, breathing, and living object lesson for his children. Children learn what to think and believe, what's important and what's not, and 10,000 other things from their fathers. Teaching your children isn't just curriculum and memory work and working up a lesson for a family devotion. It's walking with them and showing them how to live. Fathers here this morning, is that your mission statement? Is that what it's all about as you think about leading your homes? Joshua 24 and 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I trust that is the heart cry of every father here this morning, that you and your family would serve the Lord. And while each one of your children this morning have an individual choice to make whether or not they will serve the Lord, we as fathers need to be living a life that gives them the desire and the opportunity to make that choice personally. So God bless you, fathers. This morning, the title of the message is a little bit hard to get out, but it was on my mind all week, so I tried to put it together here. Fathers who lead are led. O Father, lead us gently by the hand, through sun and shadow of the future land. Dim and untraveled lies the way before. O Father, lead us. Lead us evermore. When we would falter, or when we would stray, O Father, lead us all along our way. Help us to ever closer walk to Thee, through ways of darkness where we cannot see. Fears oft affright us, doubtings walk before. O Heavenly Father, lead us now and evermore. That song was on my heart this morning, and I wanted to read it. As we think about our role as leaders in our homes, we must be led. And this morning, I don't know how the rest of you may feel, or I don't know how you have felt, but when it comes to being a good dad, when it comes to leading your homes, and setting the example and being responsible for the needs of your family, have you ever felt like a complete failure? You know, the sands of time are slipping through our fingers. There's so much we could have done or should have done, or many things we might have done different. I'm going to look at some fathers in the Bible. And I want to encourage you. And hopefully we can be strengthened as fathers as we allow God to lead us as we lead our families. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It says here this morning, this man of God, this father, it says he walked with God. You know, this morning, dear brothers, if we're going to be a leader in our home, if we're going to be a father that builds a home, we have to walk with God. It's foundational. If you desire to be led of God this morning, you must walk with Him. And as you consider that personally this morning, and I'm going to be talking a lot to dads and to fathers, but I mean anybody and everybody. But as we consider as dads, and we consider personally what it means to walk with God, have I walked with Him today? Have I walked with Him yesterday, last week? The Bible says if we draw nigh to God, what will He do to us? He'll draw nigh to us. That's not a suggestion. That's not a half-hearted maybe. It is a promise. Dear people, this morning, as we lead our homes, may we draw nigh to God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." This morning, do I please God with the way I live my life as a leader in my home? Does my life consist of things that please God? Turn with me also back in the New Testament again to 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 22, I've read this verse many times, but it stood out to me again this morning. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Here we have the promise of answered prayer. We have the promise of bringing things to our God and Him answering it, because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In Jude, the book of Jude, verse 14 and 15. Jude, verses 14 and 15, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." If we are fathers who are led by God, we will be consistent in calling what's wrong, wrong, and what's right is right. We will stand up for truth. We will be consistent, even when it's evil spoken of. Am I a father that's leaving that kind of example for my children? Fathers, here this morning, are you walking with God so that can be said of you that you please God? Are you standing for truth? Are you calling what's right, right, and what's wrong, wrong? Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Notice this man here. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." In 2 Peter 2, verse 5, it calls him the preacher of righteousness. Now let's turn back in the Old Testament to Genesis chapter 6. And let's pick up in verse number 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." So let's back up. It says in our first verses we read, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he was a just man and perfect in his generation. And it says Noah walked with God. Fathers here this morning, we live in a day and an age and in a time where being just is so important. Do you understand what I'm saying when I'm talking about the word just? It carries the idea of walking a straight path. Children are watching us walk. You know, we live in an age of compromise, in an age of dishonest living. It matters that we are a just person, a just man, a just father. We also see here that Noah was concerned about his family. It says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And as I considered my life, as I considered my family, and where I live, and where I go to church, and what I do, and what I say, and what I believe, as leaders in our homes, are we seeing things for what they are? Are we willing to build an ark to the save our house? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Fathers, are we leading our homes in the study of the Word of God? I don't know how Noah got it all done. He spent how many years building the ark? All the while providing for the needs of his family. Yet he still had time to be called the preacher of righteousness. Now, if you could just picture with me Noah day in and day out. And I don't know exactly how the weather was back then. We know there wasn't any rain. I don't know if it was cloudy. I can imagine it was hot in the summertime at least. And probably cold in the winter. But day after day, month after year, he went out there and built this ark. Some would say it took 120 years. Some scholars would say it took 55. I'm not here to argue. What I'm trying to say is he spent time building something to save his family. And I don't know what all the conversations was. We know the Bible says that he was mocked. I don't know if his children ever doubted him. Some of them may not even have been born. I don't know. I didn't study all the timelines out. What I'm trying to say this morning, dear people, is are we spending a lifetime building something to save our house? While we're living our life, are we a preacher of righteousness? Are we finding grace in the eyes of the Lord? Are we a just man, perfect in his generation? Go with me now to chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Verse 19 says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Well-known verse. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You know, that's what Abraham did. He says, the Lord said, "I know him, that He's going to command His children and His household in such a way that they follow after Him. And that they're going to keep the way of the Lord and they're going to be just people. Abraham brought them up. He guided them. He taught them. May God say of me, may God say of you, for I know Him. Romans 4:11 says of Abraham that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And I don't know exactly what all the writer means by that, but what I'm trying to grab a hold of this morning and be encouraged is Abraham was a father that the Lord knew personally. And he knew that he was going to command his children and his household after him. What a testimony. What a testimony. Joshua 24. Verse 14 and 15, we read this in the opening. I'm going to read it again. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is Joshua's testimony. And can you imagine his family listening to him as he stood up in front of the children of Israel, this vast group of people, thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people, and he said, you do what you want to, but I'm going to serve God. A man of conviction, a man of strength, a man of character, saying it for what it was. You know, Joshua had a heart for the people of Israel, but they was not going to sway him. He basically said, you make a decision. I've made mine. We're going to serve the Lord. How determined, fathers, are we this morning in serving God? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to go back to Numbers chapter 14. I don't remember reading this before, but I probably have and just may have forgot it. But we're going to pick up here in chapter 14, verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. In verse 10 it says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. You know, a testimony of what God can do in the face of impossibilities. And I don't know if how many fathers here this morning have faced impossible circumstances or impossible scenarios or whatever it may be. How serious these men took their duties to spy out this land and to come back with this message, and how much it pained them to see the lack of faith in God, the outright disobedience that the children of Israel, we talked about in our Sunday school class. You know, fathers, we have many opportunities in life to come up against and face the impossibles, to reach out to God to pull us past the impossibles. What do our children see when the stones of rejection, the stones of slander, the stones of disrespect are thrown in their parents' face, and especially in their fathers? You know, life is not all fun and games. There is low times in life. There is times of testing. There's financial problems. There's health problems. There's relationships problems. What do our children see? When the congregation of the children of Israel want to stone us. You know, in those times, I believe it is critical that our children see a man and a woman of God who has built their relationship on God, and they don't let this shake them. They sit up straight, and in a tone of love and acceptance and forgiveness, they move forward, whatever past, whatever it may be. Testimony of what God can do in the face of impossibilities. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1 and verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Notice verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments of God in His word. O Father, lead us gently by the hand, through sun and shadow of the future land. Dim and untraveled lies the way before. O Father, lead us evermore. When we would falter or when we would stray, O Father, lead us all along our way. Help us to ever closer walk to Thee, through ways of darkness where we cannot see. Fears oft affright us. Doubtings walk before. O Heavenly Father, lead us now and evermore. I trust this morning, dear men, or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as the children of God. Train them up in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know God can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life by the grace of God. He created them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent them. Teach them God's love and share it with everyone. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels, Davids, Esthers, and Peters. God isn't scratching His head wondering what He's going to do with this mess of a world. He has an army He's raising up to drive back the darkness and make Him known over all the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God placed in them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies, and we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this. God doesn't make mistakes. We are raising little warriors. The author is unknown. But take heart, fathers. It is hard to raise up a family in the world that we live in. It's different than it was when my dad was my age. It's different when it was when he was his dad. Was a young man. But we are here for this time. Let's rise to the challenge. Let's be men and women of courage and faith that stand on principles of truth and lead our families to glory. Shall we stand together for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank You again for Your word. We thank You for the examples that You have given us of men that have gone before, men who have died and went on to glory, that we can read and study their lives. Thank you for the encouragement of how these men look to you to guide their lives and their families. Pray, Lord, that you would bless each of us with a zeal for truth, with a hunger for knowledge, with a thirst to be more and more in tune with you. Give us courage to stand for what is right, wisdom to know how to make decisions as families and as a church. Lord, again, we thank you for each father here this morning. And I pray a special blessing on each one as they lead their families and as they allow their lives to be led by your Spirit, by your Word, by your guiding voice. Bless each and every one that is here, Lord, especially be with those little children, those little babies that are still on the lap, the young ones, the second graders, the third graders. Lord, each and every age bracket, as they continue to grow, may you touch and bless them in their lives. Bless their parents as they face each morning with another opportunity to lead their homes, to be that consistent witness, that consistent testimony of what it means to be a Christian. Lord, we pray for our parents and grandparents here this morning. Where they find themselves in life, Lord, also they are at a place for such a time as this, as the author penned. Give them courage. Give them wisdom. Give them direction as they seek to minister to those around them. Bless our church and the witness of our church. Bless the activities tonight as we go and sing and share your word. May it bring honor and glory to your name. Pray that you would bless this day according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen.